Thanks for tuning into the Central Church Podcast. We exist to introduce people to Jesus and help them follow him. To learn more about Central, access tons of content, and find the location nearest you, download our Central Church app. But for now, we hope you enjoy this message, and we're so glad you could join us today.
All right. Good to see you guys. Thanks for being with us today and excited to talk about how we fight our battles. You know, sometimes traffic can feel like a battle. And just driving up to church, I had people driving all around me because I'm going, you know, only slightly over the speed limit. And some of them are going much over the speed limit. But a couple days ago, I had this person come flying up on my rear, and it kind of freaked me out. I looked up in my rearview mirror. I saw them there, and they were super impatient. I couldn't get out of their way because there was another car right here to my right. And they suddenly went over two lanes of traffic, around that car, and then back over two lanes of traffic. And do you ever just get mad when somebody just drives irresponsibly? And I won't lie, my inner pastor was not showing up. And I'm alone in the car, but I'm gripping that steering wheel and I'm like, come on, man. And my blood pressure goes through the roof, and I just get angry, you know, like the inner Hulk is who's showing up, right? And so I had to sit there for a minute. I'm driving, and I actually asked myself this question. I said, well, you know, why do I get so angry when somebody flies up on my rear bumper like that and goes around me? Why does the, like, rage kick in when that happens? And my first thought, it was interesting, my first thought was because they're endangering other people, and other people could get hurt. My first thought was it's all about other people. But then I had to sit with it and be honest for a minute. And the truth for me is this. It's all about the fact that they're endangering me. And they came up on my bumper, and I got kind of freaked out in that moment. The truth is, they were driving like it was all about them, when we all know it's all about me. And this is our default often, right, as people, right? We tend to think, if you just left me on cruise control indefinitely, I would tend to think everything is about me. It all kind of absorbs around my needs, my wants, my desires. And it feels like culture even emphasizes this in our lives, right? Like, you used to just watch whatever was on TV because you only had like three or four channels, you know, that was it. And you just had to watch what was on. Some of you right now are very confused. It was a long time ago. Now we have apps, we have all these things, you have like curated watch lists and all that. Now like your spouse or your brother, if they get on Netflix and use your profile, it messes everything up and you're like, can you watch on your own profile and not on my profile? This is about me, right? Music, you know, now we have playlists that are curated for us and all that. Food, used to like you would eat a family meal. You didn't get to choose what you would eat. You ate what you ate, what was there, right? Now you can have delivery right to your door. You can get it exactly the way you want it. I mean, everywhere we look, marketers and others are sort of just driving home this impression that life is all about me. And we all can kind of live there. But I think today we're going to talk about one of the ways we can fight our battles, and that is through worship. And the thing about worship is this. Worship reminds me that life fundamentally is not about me. Worship reminds me that life is about God. It's about his fame and his name and his goodness. It reorientates me in my life. And that's a powerful thing because, listen, a God-first life is a big life. It's a life that unlocks your God-given potential. And worship reminds us of the power of a God-first life. When you put God first in your life, he goes first in your battles. When you put God first in your life, He goes first in your battles. Now, in this teaching series, we've been talking about how we fight our battles, and we've been looking at some important weapons that God has given us to use in how we approach our battles. And so let's just do a little review. We'll bring this up on the screen. We're going to look at some icons here just to kind of remind us. Week one, we talked about prayer and the power of prayer to not only shape our own hearts, but to help us as we face our battles. And then last week, we talked about God's word and the power of his word, how to stand on his word and be inspired by his word to help us fight our battles. Today we're going to talk about worship and the power of worship. And then the week after we'll look at gratitude and generosity and remembrance. These are some of the tools that God has given us to help us fight our battles. But here's the thing, all of these tools remind us that life is ultimately not about me, it's about God. That I'm not first from a spiritual standpoint, that I'm second. That God wants to be first. And listen, God wants to be number one, not just in your praise, but also in your problems. That's how we fight our battles. So we're going to look at worship. Now, when it comes to worship, what is worship? Well, a lot of people think, well, worship is what we do. You know, we gather at church or we watch online and the music comes out and the musicians play and it's awesome and we sing along, or, you know, if we don't sing very well, we lip sync along. Or if you're at church with a mask on right now, you're like loving life if you're not really a singer because it looks like you're singing. Nobody knows. You're singing in your heart, right? You're there. And sometimes we tend to think that alone is worship, and that is worship, but it's not all worship is. Worship is way more than just music. It's way more than just singing. Somebody said this, worship is me responding to all that God is with all that I am. Worship is me responding to all that God is with all that I am. And that can come in generosity, it can come in prayer, it can come in response to God's word and obeying God's word. It can come in so many different aspects in our lives, in serving others, in remembering all that God has done. All of that is a response to all that God is with all that I am. Worship is one of the ways that we do that. But here's why worship isn't just something that happens when we get together in church. Worship is actually a weapon, because when you lift God up, listen, he shakes things up. When you lift God up, he will shake things up in your life. And one of the ways we get through our battles, one of the ways we get through our struggles is by worship. It's by singing. It's by acknowledging who God is in our lives. There's a great story about this in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. That's the story of either Jehoshaphat or Jehoshaphat, however you pronounce it. But Jehoshaphat is the king. Israel has already got its land. It's settled. And there's kind of this religious awakening that's going on. All these sort of amazing things are happening. The people are turning back to God. They're worshiping God. They're acknowledging God in their lives. And precisely then, in that moment, three armies show up. And they show up on their borders, which I think is an important, just to pause, just because you're walking with God. Some of you right now, COVID has flipped you upside down, and you are walking with God like you never have before in your life. Some of you are in a time of spiritual awakening right now. Some of you are like, man, I wish I had that. But some of you are there right now. God is moving and working in your life. He feels alive to you. You see him working. It's flipped your life upside down, and you're walking with God. And the assumption can be that because you're walking with God and you're walking in faith, you won't face battles. But precisely when Jehoshaphat and the Israelites had turned to God and were following God, that's when three armies showed up on their borders, and all of a sudden they were in a desperate situation. So what do you do when you're in a desperate situation? Well, here's what Jehoshaphat does. First of all, he tells all the people of Israel to pray and to fast. Fasting just means to go without usually food. It could be water, or it could be a lot of little things, you know, that people fast from. But from a biblical standpoint, it's often they go without food for a period of time to focus on prayer. Like, that's the whole point. Every time you get a hunger pain, you focus on prayer. And so fasting is a way of showing you're serious. and you're desperate. And this was 911. And so Jehoshaphat tells everybody, fast and pray. And they begin to pray. And then 2 Chronicles chapter 20, there's this amazing public prayer that Jehoshaphat delivers. Check this out. When we get to the red words here, if you'll just read these out loud here with me, it's how we make sure everybody's awake. Even if you're watching online alone, you say these out loud. Here we go. It says, this is his prayer. He says, O Lord, God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. Look at this. No one, you see that? No one can stand against you. He's like God. He's just acknowledging who God is. He's acknowledging what God has done. And he's saying, look, nobody can stand against you. And sometimes we just, I don't know what you're facing right now. I don't know what the battle is right now, but sometimes we just need to pause and remember that no matter what you're facing, it can't stand against God. Jehoshaphat's got three armies at the border. They're coming in. They're going to attack. It is game on. It's 911. And he says, God, you have the power. You have the ability to help us deal with this. And publicly, he just puts God first before the nation. What do you do when you're in the middle of a battle and you aren't sure where to go? The first challenge of worship is to simply put God first, to put him first. And we may know this in our heads, but it's hard sometimes to get in our hearts because we usually like to be in that first place. My daughter Emma, in this last season, got really into playing chess. And I've never really been I'm not a big board games person. I'm not a very good chess player, but she'll want to play chess. And so we'll sit down and play. And I know every time I play her in chess, she watches all the YouTube videos, y'all. She's tracking the moves. She's like five times ahead of me. I'm still trying to figure out the rules of the game. I still think this guy can move over here. And this one can move over there, and I'm all messed up. And she just destroys me. So I know I'm going to lose. Whether it's 5 minutes in or 30 minutes in, she's going to beat me. And every now and then I think, like, maybe she's going to let me win. You know, I let her win all those times at Mario Kart. I let her win all those times at Madden. No. She's never let me win, ever. In fact, she'll actually go on social media and post things like this right here. Check this out. Dad fought well, but I stay on top. Merciless. We don't like being second, which is the first loser, right? Like we don't like coming behind someone else. But when it comes to life, one of the most powerful things that we can do on a daily basis is acknowledge that God is number one, and therefore I am second. I'm second. And when we do that, when we put God first, amazing things start to happen. Jehoshaphat gets everybody together. He prays, and publicly, he puts God first. He says something pretty amazing for a king. He gets up and says, we're helpless. Now, when's the last time you saw one of our leaders get up and go, man, we're helpless? You know, Jehoshaphat basically says, we're powerless, and admits, like, we don't even know what to do. When's the last time we had a leader stand up and say, we don't know? But he didn't stop there. He took it further, and he cried out to God for help. And he depended on God in that moment. And there's this paradox, this mystery that we see in his life and in his leadership. And that is this, that when you step down, God steps up. When you humble yourself, God can move in power. When you acknowledge you can't do it all on your own, you're making room for God to move for his own fame and his own glory. So Jehoshaphat basically just comes out and says, look, we can't do this on our own, God. You got to show up. And God's spirit falls on the people, the Bible says. And one person as a spokesman for God in particular speaks up. And what he says is a verse that we've looked at in the Bible over these last several weeks. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, beginning in verse 15. And if you've been here the last couple weeks, or you've been watching, you will recognize this. It says, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not what? Yours, but God's. The battle is not yours, it's God's. And somebody just needs to be reminded of that today. You're walking around facing stuff in your life that feels overwhelming. You're kind of at the end of yourself. Some of you are in work situations right now, and you're not sure how to move forward. You don't know how to move the needle. You certainly don't feel like you can stand up in front of your employees or in front of your coworkers and be like, I don't know what to do. But you can go privately before God and say, God, I need you. I don't know exactly what to do. I need you to show up. You can bow before God, and when you step down, he can step up, and he can give you insight and wisdom, and he can move supernaturally. Listen, bowing down before God is not bailing out. That is not bailing out. Strong women, strong men know how to get down on their knees and ask God for help. They know how to humble themselves. And I think often in our lives, you know, our problems try to convince us that they're too big for us to solve. And our obstacles try to scare us into thinking that they're too big to ever get over. Whatever opposition you're facing right now in your life is probably trying to scare you into feeling alone and powerless. But worship reminds you that no one can stand against the one who stands with you. Worship declares that God is powerful. It gives you hope. It gives you courage. It gives you the clarity that you need to step forward and fight. Not clarity of how things will turn out, right? No matter what happens, it reminds you that God is with you and no one can stand against him. So you may be in a battle, you may be following God, and you may be discouraged because all of a sudden three armies have showed up at your doorstep, right? Some of you are fighting the army of cancer, the army of COVID, the army of unemployment, the army of discouragement, the army of despair, and it feels like it's all gathered around. And I don't know about you guys, but I've had a few moments where I feel like I'm doing pretty good. God's held me together pretty well over the last year, but I'd be lying if I said I'm all right. I mean, I just had a few moments where every now and then, I'm just being real. I've been like, I don't know. I'm okay, right, God? Yeah, I think I'm okay. But I don't know what we just came through, and we're not even sure kind of how we're moving. Are you with me here? Like, we've all been through some trauma. It's going to be a process to work through it. But I found this. Trouble is often a test to put God first. It's a test to put God first. Because when you use worship as a weapon, you shift your focus from the problem to your provider. When you use worship as a weapon, you shift your focus from just the situation to your sustainer, from the enemy to your advocate, from the fight to the one who fights with and for you. When you lift him up, he shakes things up. So when we come in and sing, when we come in and worship, when the band starts to play and you start to hear the music, there's a lot more that's going on than just words coming out of our mouth. It's a weapon in our lives. We're getting strength for the battle. We're acknowledging. So many of our songs are filled with scripture. We're acknowledging the goodness of who God is. We're acknowledging that we're there to put him first. Here's the thing about worship, especially as you begin to grow in your faith. You realize that worship, music, styles, and all the different approaches, it's not primarily about me. It's not about what I like. It's not about my favorite style. It's not about my favorite song. It's not about whether the bass was the right mix this week. It's not about whether, you know, worship was too short or too long. It's not fundamentally about me anymore, right? As I grow in my faith, I come to church for God. And listen, some of you, you're newer in your faith, and I love you, and I appreciate you. And sometimes people say, Judd, I come to church for you. No. You come to church for God. That's what growth means. Right? I'll disappoint you. I'll lay an egg sometimes. It won't always be what you need. But you come for God. Right? You show up for God. You worship because of who God is. Worship, the word just means to declare worth or worthy. You're acknowledging that God is worthy. And so we put him first when we worship. And when we lift him up, he starts to shake things up in our lives. It's a weapon. If you're in a battle right now, you can stop a lot of things, but don't stop worshiping. Right? If you're struggling right now, Don't stop worshiping privately. Don't stop putting worship music on and just singing it around the house or the apartment or the car. Don't stop showing up at church and just allowing God to move as you hear the music around you. And some of you are like, man, Judd, I don't know, I'm not a very good singer. Well, I'm a horrible singer. The Bible doesn't say make an on-pitch noise. It says just make a joyful noise, right? I can make some noise. Anybody with me and making noise? Yeah, I can make noise. Sometimes it may even be joyful noise. It may not be on pitch noise, but that's okay. What's happening? I'm getting strength. I'm getting ready for the battle. I'm coming from the battle. Come on, somebody. Somebody came to church today and you limped in here emotionally, spiritually. You are barely hanging on right now in your life. You came in because you need to be filled up. You need to be recharged so you can go back out into the battle because the battle didn't go away. You need to be reminded that God is with you in the battle. You need to be reminded that He's walking with you in the valley. You need to know that you're not alone. And that's why we do it. Every week we show up and look, some weeks it's easier than others, right? Some weeks you can roll right in, it's no problem. Some weeks the biggest meltdown in families happens on the way to church, right? Some weeks the hardest battle is getting the kids ready, getting people ready, getting yourself ready, getting in the car and getting there. But if you're like me, you always drive away or you always turn out online when you shut down. You're always glad you made the effort when it's over. Why? Because God gave you something you needed that could help you fight the battle that's ahead. Worship is a weapon. So not only do we put God first when we worship, but we stand then and we praise Him in our lives. We stand and praise Him. I don't know if, how many of you just love music in general? A lot of people love music, and there's so many different styles of music. I just pulled some old classic songs from a few different styles of music. Some of you, I just want to see if you can remember any of these lyrics. We got Coolio here. Keep spending most our lives living in the what? Gangster paradise. See, somebody can't remember their friend's phone number, but they'll remember this the rest of their life, right? Because music has power. All right, here's another one. Here's a little Mick Jagger classic, Rolling Stones. I can't get no satisfaction. Yes. All right, there it is. All right, one more for the country people in the room. Little Garth Brooks. I got friends in low places. They all go to Central. And we love them. Because we love everybody. We can remember these lyrics. We'll remember them the rest of our lives. They're tucked away in our heart. When I was a kid, my mom would say, be careful about that music you listen to, right? You know, and I'd be like, no, it doesn't affect me. I'm beyond that. But it does get into our hearts and into our minds, and it plays over and over and over. And so worship music can do that too, to the positive. When it gets in our hearts and in our minds, it's like a soundtrack that plays over and over and over and reminds us of the goodness of God and the power of God and the work of God in our lives. And that's why it's important that we not only engage with it, but that we listen to it and we lean into it. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Beginning in verse 21, here's what happens. Jehoshaphat, he's got three armies coming against them. They go out to meet them, and he gets instruction that he's to send the worship leaders first into battle. This is one of the coolest battle scenes in the Old Testament. So he takes the worship band, and he sends them out first, right? Like, you know, the Israeli SEALs, they hold back. And who goes in first? Are the musicians, and they're singing, and they're leading people in song, right? Okay, this is kind of crazy if you can imagine a battlefield scene. This didn't happen in the movie Braveheart, okay? 2 Chronicles 20:21, it says, this is what they sang. These were their lyrics. Give thanks to the Lord, His faithful love endures forever. Now, think about this. These armies are at their doorstep. They're coming onto their land. They're threatening their future, their kids, their lives. Like, everything is on the line. It's desperate. It's 911. But the song that they're to sing, give thanks to the Lord. His love endures forever. They could be marching to their death, and the song they're singing is give thanks to the Lord. his love endures forever. I just watched an amazing PBS special on the history of the black church. Really powerful and moving and humbling. But one of the things that comes out in that documentary is in the civil rights movement, as so many of those individuals were marching for progress and freedom, literally it was songs and lyrics from the Bible. It was spiritual songs that gave them the courage to march ahead, not knowing if they would be beaten, if they would be arrested, not knowing what would happen. And if you watch video of the civil rights movement in the 60s, you'll see people, they're being arrested. What are they doing? They're singing. You'll see people, they're singing gospel songs. They're singing just, this is a group of people, they're following the example of Jehoshaphat. You go into battle, you're terrified, you're afraid, you don't know what's going to happen. You sing to the one who is above and beyond all your current problems, and you find the strength to keep going. So that's what they did. And then look at this. At the very what? Moment. At that very moment that they sang, "Give thanks to the Lord, his faithful love endures forever." They began to sing and give praise. The Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. Oh, this is, come on somebody, this is good right here. So they didn't know, there was no way they could beat this army on their own. There was no way out of this situation that they could tell on their own. They didn't have the power, the resources, the ability to handle it on their own. But when they worshiped, worship became a weapon. And when they sent the band out first to worship and acknowledge God, when they sang through their fear and they sang through their worry and they sang through their despair and they sang through the unknown, God showed up and shook things up. And those other armies got confused and started fighting. They didn't know what was happening. I don't know, I'll kill you. They start fighting amongst each other, and the Israelites win the victory because God shook things up, and the weapon God used was worship. Worship. Maybe right now, if you feel overwhelmed in the battle, it's just about going back to the power of worship for you in your life. Just take a few minutes to, maybe in the car, you know, turn off the podcast for a minute and just put some worship on, right? Adjust the playlist and put some worship on and let God move and work in that. Sing to him. If you can't sing, lip sync to it. If you can't lip sync or sing in key or anything else, do like me and just make a joyful noise. And just let God prepare you for the battle ahead. Let him give you strength. Listen, one of the main reasons it's important that we as people of faith worship is because God is worthy of praise. He's worthy of praise. And he's worthy because he created us. He's worthy because we're his children. He's worthy because we're his idea. He's worthy because he's good and he's kind and he's compassionate. He's worthy because he's holy and true. He's the Father of lights in whom there is no shadow. He's worthy because he's faithful through the ups and downs of life. He's faithful through your failures and sins. He's faithful through the breakups, through the divorce, through the dark times, through the valleys. He's worthy because he loves you even when it hurts, even when it cost him everything in Jesus' sacrifice. He's worthy because Jesus died for you. He's worthy because Jesus rose for you. He's worthy because Jesus is alive, standing before the throne, giving intercession for you today. Jesus is worthy. He never sinned, he never failed, and he never compromised. He's worthy because he purchased us with his blood. We are bought and paid for, and after he bought us, he set us free. We're free to serve him today. Right, we're free to celebrate him today. We're free to activate our faith today. Jesus is worth your praise because he declared you're worth his sacrifice. So as for me, I'm gonna stand and praise him. I'm gonna praise him when times are good, and I'm gonna praise him when they're not so good. I'm gonna praise him when I feel blessed, and I'm gonna praise him when I feel broken. I'm gonna praise him when the money's good, and I'm gonna praise him when the money dries up. I'm going to praise him when other people notice me, and I'm going to praise him when I go totally unnoticed and ignored. I'm going to praise him when I feel love, and I'm going to praise him when I feel abandoned. I'm going to praise him when I feel safe, and I'm going to praise him when I feel threatened. I'm going to praise him when I feel understood, and I'm going to praise him when I'm misunderstood. I'm going to praise him when I feel like it, and I'm going to praise him when I don't feel like it. I'm going to praise him especially when I don't feel like it. I'm going to praise him on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday night and Saturday night. I'm going to praise him in times of peace. I'm going to praise him in times of battle. I'm going to praise him on my way home from victory, and I'm going to praise him on my way home from defeat, because worship is a weapon, and when I lift God up, he shakes things up. I remember a friend of mine, I asked years ago, he was going through really one of the most horrible things a human being can go through. His son had a really challenging medical diagnosis, had to go through multiple brain surgeries. It went on for years and years, and none of it really seemed like it was helping. And, you know, as a parent, somebody's described being a parent like having your heart walking around outside of your body. And everything he tried to do for his son, they tried. Every option was explored, and things just kept getting worse. And the medical bills went from thousands to tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands and up. And these enormous pressures that just sat on him, nowhere to go, nowhere to move, no way that these things could get resolved from a human standpoint. I'd walked with him for years, and I remember one day I just pulled him aside. I said, "How do you do it? How are you holding on to your sanity after all these years and all these spending hundreds of hours in hospitals and all the financial pressure now, and then no real help, you know, still just very discouraging news on the health front. How do you do it?" He said, "Judd, when it gets really bad, when my emotional life just gets really dark," he said, "I go in the room, I turn the lights off, and I play gospel music in the dark, sometimes for hours, and I listen, and I sing, and I worship. Songs like this: nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows, but he knows my sorrow. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen, but glory, hallelujah. Sometimes I'm standing crying, tears running down my face. I cry to the Lord, have mercy, help me run this race. Oh Lord, I have so many trials, so many pains and woes. I'm asking for faith and comfort, Lord. Help me bear this load. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Well, nobody knows but Jesus. Oh, the trouble I've seen. I'm singing glory, 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 hallelujah." Songs born in slavery, in oppression, persecution, songs born in the battle, are the songs that can give you the strength to move forward in the battle. How do we fight our battles? We use worship as a weapon to give us strength. We put God first, and we remember no one can stand against the one who stands with you. Look, we stand in praise. Praise gets us in the game. Praise can get you through the battle, because when you lift God up, he shakes things up. So maybe some of you, you're in a battle. That just means that you're right where God wants you to be right now. And most of us in the battle wish that God would just take the battle away, but he rarely does that. Instead, he'll show up and walk with you in the battle. And maybe you should just send out worship ahead of you tomorrow. Maybe before work this week, just send out worship ahead before you face the job. Just send worship out ahead before you face the situation. Some of you, before you talk to your family member that's driving you crazy, just send some worship out ahead of that, right? Some of you, before you battle your budget, come on somebody, before you like balance your budget, you gotta send some worship out ahead of that, because it's a weapon. And when we lift God up, he can shake things up in our lives. Maybe you're here today and maybe you haven't crossed that line of faith. I'd love you to get to just have an opportunity to reach out to God and trust him in your life and know that you're not alone, that he loves you, that he's for you, that you too can worship and grow in your worship and find the strength to keep going in the midst of your battles. I'd love to lead you in a prayer to just put your faith and your trust in Jesus and to open your heart to him. The Bible says if we believe that Jesus rose from the dead and we confess with our tongue that Jesus is Lord, that we will be saved. So would all of you bow your heads and close your eyes? If you'd like to take that step in your life today, if you'd like to enter into worship through faith in Christ, you can begin that journey by repeating after me to say, "Dear God, I thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending Jesus into the world. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he rose again. Forgive me for my sins. Give me the gift of eternal life. Help me face the challenges that I'm up against. God, I surrender my life to you. In Christ's name." Friends, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's your prayer today, that's your commitment, I want to ask you to just slip your hand in the air. Just to say before God, you're going to trust him. You're going to follow him in your life today. Slip your hand in the air. Wherever you're watching from, if you're watching online, slip your hand in the air. God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for all that you do in our lives. We thank you for the gift of worship. Help us leverage it to experience more of your presence and power working and moving in our lives every day. And we thank you for each of these people who've committed their lives to you. In Christ's name, amen.